Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. This week's show, buy to let is dead. You need to do this instead. So this is quite a controversial statement, saying buy to let is dead, especially as it's the Property Investors Podcast.
Yep.
And when you think about property investing, you probably think about buy to let being the main strategy.
What everyone used to do, wasn't it? That was property investing.
It was. So how can you property invest if buy to let is dead? Well, let's get on to it. First of all, why don't we start off by talking about why buy to let is failing at the end of 2025 and expected to carry on failing into 2026. So there isn't one individual factor. It's not like, oh, this has happened, suddenly it's dead. This is kind of death by a thousand cuts.
It does feel like that. It feels like the government have been poking at buy-to-lets now for a long time, making it harder and harder and harder, and you're trying to avoid certain taxes. But really, they've destroyed it, haven't they? It's like just so the last thing, and then it's pushed it over the edge of just, okay, this is, you know, how they've just killed it, really.
Yeah, so why don't we go through some of the things that's happening right now that are causing buy-to-let to be dead. So big one, this has been around for a little while. This is one of the first major attacks. This was by the Conservative government, Section 24, which is where you cannot claim your mortgage interest payments as a tax deductible expense. So for the first time in history, we had landlords that were literally paying more money in tax or the same in tax as they were earning in profit. So the case study that I always give, if you've got £2,000 per month rental income.
Yep.
And your mortgage interest payments are £1,500 a month, assuming you've got no other costs, right now, you wouldn't make any money.
No.
So on paper, you'd be making £500 a month, but if you're a 40% taxpayer, you'd be paying £500 a month in tax.
Crazy. Section 24. Well, you say it was many things, and it is the straw that broke the camel's back, but I think Section 24 had a big pot to play.
It did, and this was back in 2016. This has been nearly 10 years now. There were big calls for this to get dropped in the budget. It didn't get dropped. That's the first one. The second one, just to really rub salt in the wounds of all these poor landlords that are dealing with Section 24, they've actually raised income tax purely for landlords.
Yeah.
Buy-to-let landlords by an extra 2%. So in that scenario we just talked about, not only would you be paying 100% in tax and making no money, you would now be losing money. You'd be paying more money in tax than you were making in profit. So Section 24, the high rate taxes, that is all massive.
So I'd say another big factor is the new rules for EPC.
Oh, and again, isn't it funny how when the government are bringing in a new rule, it's not like that they just come in and go, right, and they, like, they've thought it through. They always come up with a deadline, and then it gets pushed back, and then the goalposts change, and then there's contradictory rules going on with EPCs. It's ridiculous. So again, if you've got a portfolio, say you had 10 houses.
I mean, it's massive, isn't it? And then suddenly if they're all, so I think at the moment it's got to be D, hasn't it? Yeah. And then they're doing it, so it's got to be C and above.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's loads of properties that are D. We've lived in an E. We've lived in houses E, haven't we?
F.
Yeah, like crikey. And if, I mean, that's a cash out. People are just aren't going to be able to afford to do.
It's all extra money, isn't it? It's all extra money. And again, the thing is, with a lot of these things, a lot of these are issues for normal landlords. There's often loopholes and ways around it.
We've spoken about some of the EPC.
Yeah, so like
loopholes.
If you've got a tenant on benefits, you get government grants. That's actually a good thing all of a sudden for you, right? So there are ways around it, but most landlords don't know about this. And some of them are going to hit you come what may. But EPC pressure, definitely something that's been turning off a lot of landlords. So I 100% agree. New licensing. I mean, we even saw Angela Rayner, Deputy Prime Minister, get caught out by the licensing. She needed a license. She didn't know she needed it. It's all extra complications and
just
stuff.
Just makes it less and less appealing, doesn't it, to do? Because you just think, and then you also think, what are they going to bring in next?
Yeah.
What's the next thing they're going to to like bring in? What new tax are they going to somehow come up with?
100%. Next one, I'm going to link a few together now. So we'll go for the Renters' Rights Act as a whole. Okay.
Right, yeah.
So you've got rental arrears potentially. So I could tell you a story actually. A landlord that I know, a guy called Martin, he's got a 3-bed terrace property in Nottingham.
Yep.
And his tenant that was living there was a single mom with 2 kids, which is always difficult because then it's hard to evict a single mom with 2 kids, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it not only do you feel a bit bad, but I think they get ruled in favour of quite a lot, don't they?
They do. So here is I've written down the stats. So the monthly rent they were paying was £850 a month.
Okay, yeah.
And his mortgage was £612 a month. So he had a little profit there. A little profit. Nothing exciting. Anyway, she was always paying, no issues, no complaints. In February, he received this message. I'll be late with my rent this month. My universal credit hasn't come through. I'll catch up next month. Now, Martin is a nice guy. He's understanding. So, you know, he's probably been there himself when he was younger. Yeah. So he let her off. Anyway, next month comes. Not only does she not pay for last month, she didn't pay at all.
Oh, wow.
No payment. Next month, nothing. He's ringing her. She's not answering the calls. She stops replying to his text messages. And then he calls her and she's blocked his number. So,
Oh, wow.
I know. Just horrendous. So Martin files for a Section 21, which, by the way, you won't be able to do moving forward. Anyway, so she apparently contacts the council and the council say, don't move out. Because if you move out voluntarily, you then made yourself homeless intentionally. So wait for the bailiffs to arrive so we can help get a house. So what, the whole system here
is just messed up, isn't it?
It's broken, isn't it? So anyway,
see, how crazy is that? Is that is the actual advice you would get
from the council?
How is that not illegal?
I don't know. So anyway, Martin takes it to court. I've got some deadlines here because this is how long it can take, right? So he has to go to court. He's already 3 months behind on his rent by the time this goes through. 10 weeks to get a hearing date. Then, and I've personally had this, the hearing got adjourned because there was a lack of judges. If judge is ill that day or whatever, bang, a load of cases,
painful,
got adjourned.
Painful.
Extra 4 weeks. Possession order was granted, but the tenant appealed it, which added on 6 weeks. Then they had to book the bailiffs. That took 7 weeks.
Oh,
total time, 9 months from when the tenant first stopped paying. In the meantime, the tenant's refusing access for inspections. He's got neighbours because they've stopped caring. So they're just piling rubbish up in the garden because they know they're getting kicked out at some point. So they've stopped treating it like their home, trashing the place, rubbish piling up. Martin can't even enter the property legally. Total loss during this period because he had to carry on paying his mortgage. Of course.
Like, it's not like they go, don't worry, Martin. If she's paying up and we've advised her to stay, we'll help you cover your mortgage payments.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
Total loss, £10,250. That was more than he'd made in the previous 3 years in profit. So basically, 3 years of profit wiped out in 9 months. He's now 4 years in, he's made nothing from this property, all because of this. When the bailiffs finally arrive, the tenants was filming it and was saying, oh, you're making my kids homeless, but they did it anyway. So what's the lesson? And the lesson is that maybe tenants and buy-to-lets aren't the best way to make money in property.
No, I think that says it.
With all these tenant rights coming in, with the small margins, there's one other thing actually I want to mention as well. I didn't actually put on my notes, but it has happened in this period over the last few years, is interest rates have gone up a lot.
Yeah.
So, and this, when Section 24 first came in, interest rates were really low. So it didn't feel like that big a deal because your interest, you know, if you were renting a property out for £1,000 and your mortgage was £300,
yeah,
it's like, nah, it's not that big a deal. But now, if you look at Martin's example, so his figures, his rent was £850, his mortgage was £612. So it's quite a big percentage of the rent. And if you then can't claim that back as a tax deductible expense, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely huge.
So I think when Section 24 first came in, it wasn't too big a deal. I mean, and interest rates don't really appear to be, I mean, they are kind of on the way down a little bit, but they've been pretty high for quite a long time. They haven't really changed. So This is the problem with buy-to-let right now. Yeah. That story kind of sums it up. For all these points, it's like, here's the issue. So what is...
And imagine if he had six of them going on at the time, like all in one go.
Oh.
I mean, it could literally cripple you, couldn't it?
It could. And I also do think that landlords are kind of getting deliberately scared.
Yeah.
So with the renters' rights, they've also got to... We've got Making Tax Digital, which is going on right now. We've got the new landlord register. They've got to make sure they're getting all their... It's kind of becoming a bit more complicated. And it's...
So if you were doing anything a bit on the sly, taking cash in hand for, you know, rent or anything like that, that's all going to come to a big stop.
Yes.
So, yeah, for certain people, that will also be an issue. Do you know what really annoys me?
Go on.
Why are the government... I feel like their motto is, let's help the losers to be more loserish. And let's penalise the working person and the guys that are trying to do the right thing. That's what really annoys me about that story. Because I just think, why are we enabling losers to be even more losers than they are? And to enable them to be such losers, we're going, I know who we're going to penalise. We're going to penalise people that are trying to help society, that are trying to better themselves, that are trying to support their own families. Why would they do that? It baffles me.
I agree.
I think what a sad situation to be in. I listened to a guy on TikTok the other day, and he was saying, I went out into the streets. He said, because I wondered, why do we have such an issue with people out of work? And he said, so I decided to go and interview loads of people that were on the dole, on benefits. And he said, pretty much 100% of the people said, in some roundabout way, because the kind of job I'd get, I earn more on benefits. So why on earth would I do that? And you just think, what a broken system. And then on top of that, they're telling them to stay in houses and not pay rent. And
that's ridiculous.
The council telling them to, the government telling them to. It's insane, in my opinion. Like, what on earth? And then we're cheering. Woohoo, look, that's how we're going to make this country work. Like, just baffles me.
I totally agree.
Anyway, rant over there.
Totally agree.
We can move on.
So, what is the answer? What is the better way of making money as a landlord? And I would say you've got a couple of options.
Yeah.
So, rather than renting it out to a tenant who's got all the renter's rights,
yep,
and who you're going to have to lose, you've got Section 24, and you're making a very, very small margin and potentially could not lose it all in 9 months when you can't get rid of them. Rather than doing all that, why not rent your property out as serviced accommodation?
Yep.
Now, a question I always get asked is, does serviced accommodation work anywhere?
Oh, yeah. That's a big question, isn't it? Because I generally used to think, well, no, not really. Like, just pick your area. Like, pick holiday locations, pick city centres. Like, don't be stupid. Like, pick the obvious places. Like... But actually, my opinion's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I actually know of some very, very good serviced accommodations that work really, really well in some places you would never think of and like of doing one. And they're nearly fully booked all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think when I originally thought about it, there was one market that you don't think about, which kind of covers a lot of areas that aren't holiday destinations.
I think a lot of people think tourists.
Yeah, yes. And I think that's what I just thought years ago when we first started doing it. It was like, well, you've obviously got to be in a city centre, or you're kind of thinking hotel, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, instead of a hotel, they're going to an SA.
And you're thinking, well, who would want to go on holiday to Warsaw?
Yeah, no Warsaw's one's going to go work there. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Now, there's two key figures that you need to... Well, I suppose let's address that, actually. That's a good point, though, first. Is there's different types of people that stay in serviced accommodation. So you do have tourists, which makes up a part of it. But you've also got relocators.
Yeah.
How many people do we know who are relocating to another area? Well, actually, I mean, like we did when we moved... when we got a new house in Dubai.
Yep.
When we first went over there... Where did we stay at first?
Airbnb.
In an Airbnb. And then we found our place over in Dubai.
Yep.
people do that all the time. If they're moving from one house to the other and there's a gap in there, they rent. Or similar thing, but people that are, say, renovating their home, which is a kind of similar thing. And again, they're looking for a gap. And I know at least three families off the top of my head that have done that in the last couple of years around here.
Yeah.
And gone and stayed somewhere for 6 months or so.
I do think, though, with that, that's probably a little bit selective on area. Like, are many people doing big renovations in Warsaw and going to live in other houses?
They might be relocating to Warsaw.
Relocating, yes. But I think renovating...
But those people that have got a gap, whether it be because they're relocating, whether it be because they are... But there's always going to be people in there. As long as people live in there, there's always going to be people that are moving to that area,
there is,
right? So you've got that. You've then got contractors.
Yeah, that is a big one that I'd never even thought of years ago when we first started doing it. I think contractors...
I mean, like our hotel, I don't know if you know this, but our hotel, we had a booking yesterday. They booked 5 days a week. They don't need the weekend, but they booked Monday to Friday.
Yep.
Well, actually, it's Sunday to Thursday, technically, because they're staying Sunday nights there.
Yeah, and then head back on the Friday,
So Sunday to Thursday, 5 rooms for 18 months.
See, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is mad. It was a market I just never even thought of.
And it's because our hotel has got kitchenettes.
Yeah.
So they've got, it's got microwave, it's got, you know, small cooking facilities.
Yeah, it's much better for them than actually being put up in a proper hotel, because like you say, ours have got cooking facilities, but they're not looking for hotels because they don't want to have to eat out every night. That's perfect for them. So actually, that dominates a big part of the serviced accommodation market.
Oh yeah, massive.
The first time I ever heard of it was actually a house in Warsaw. And they said, oh, we're doing it as serviced accommodation. And I remember just thinking, so what?
Yeah.
Like, and how do you think you're going to make any money off that? Like, who's visiting? Well, okay, you might get one or two families a year visiting family there. But, like, how on earth is that going to work? And it's not even central Warsaw either. It's, like, on the outskirts in a little, like, well, say village, very loosely.
Yeah.
A little village. I was just thinking, that's craziness. Like, just sell the property. Like, that's not going to work. And then I spoke to them, like, 6 months up, and they're like, fully booked. And I was like, sorry, what? Like, who's possibly visiting Warsaw? That, like, and they were like contractors. And I was just like, it's genius. Like, and this obviously was quite a number of years ago now, but I just thought, wow. And then the amount of people since then that I know that are like, oh, that's fully booked, contractors. And I'm almost like, I think going somewhere and getting the contractors is almost more appealing. Because they'll book for really long, book the next, like you say, 18 months. It's almost getting more appealing than trying to, like, go for the tourists.
And even big houses, so the one you're talking about, I might show you on the screen in a minute. I want to show you a really cool tool in a minute. But the one that you're talking about, it's like a 5-bed house or 4-bed house or something. And the contractors want multiple rooms.
Yeah, so the bigger houses.
And for them, it's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Because... like, if they were going to a hotel, they'd need 5 individual hotel rooms, which would be really expensive. Yeah. So,
but another good thing about aiming for contractors is they're also not, like, as fussy about what the house looks like. So you could go for a cheaper house on the outskirts. They're not looking for town centres, city centres, where you do pay the premiums, the beachside resorts. So, like, at some of our SAs, well, all of our SAs are city centre, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, but we've paid premium prices to get in the city centres. Well, actually, for the same price, if we'd moved to the outskirts, bought a big 5-bed house instead of a 2-bed, like, townhouse for the same price and then got 5 contractors in it, they don't care. They don't want to be city centre. Like, actually, it's brilliant.
It is brilliant. So here's what you need to work out to see if you've got a house, if you're a landlord. There's 3 opportunities I want to talk about, okay? So here's the first one. If you're a landlord right now and you've already got houses and you're thinking, I want to sell. Now, do not sell right now.
No.
It's a terrible time to sell, okay? Keep your property. But rather than renting out an AST, maybe rent out a service accommodation instead. So here's what you need to check for your areas. I'm going to tell you, number 1, how to check it. And number 2, I'm going to give you a tool that you can use for free to check it for you. Okay, so here are the two key statistics. Number one is you want to know what the nightly rate is.
Yeah.
What's the nightly rate? How much would people be willing to spend per night to stay in my house? Now, it could be that it's like, let's say it's a one-bed flat. It's like, well, what would it be? I need to know. If it's £100 a night, okay.
Yeah.
It's £100 a night. If it's £150 a night, you know that. But that's the first figure.
Yeah.
Now, you can check this by looking for similar properties on Airbnb, Booking.com. Find similar stuff to yours, similar area, and try and get a vibe for what the prices are. Yeah. That's the first one. The second thing that you need to work out is what is the occupancy rate?
Yeah.
Because some areas have got a really high nightly rate, but the occupancy rate's really low, or it's seasonal. So it might be like really high in the summer, but really low in the winter. If it was 100% over June, July, August, but then 10% the rest of the year.
It's like, how does it, yeah.
Overall, it'd be like 30%, which is
I would say a classic example of that's probably the Peak District. Would you say? I reckon summer, I think absolutely raking it in.
I think the Peak District do quite well. Very well in the summer.
Yeah.
And not too, I think where they struggle, and I haven't.
I can imagine January, February,
January,
March.
January, February, yeah. It's like, who wants to go to
Yeah, because Christmas, I can imagine, very nice in the Peak District.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say.
I think beach places like Bournemouth, so I know a few people.
Oh, the opposite, aren't they? Well, no, not the opposite, the same. Really great.
What they actually do, a strategy that I know a lot of people in Bournemouth, for example, they make. Really make hay while the sun shines, right?
Yeah.
Because during the summer period, you can charge a premium because people want to go and stay by the beach.
Yep.
Where you're going to struggle is the rest of the year. So what they do is they say like 4 months of the year, they rent it out short-term stays. And then the other 8 months, they specifically target the first market that we just talked about, contractors, people traveling for work, or even just like a 6 month short-term tenancy.
Yeah.
And then they can switch it over.
That's a great idea.
Yes. Yeah,
so make the most sort of.
Kind of get the best of both. Yeah. So you're really getting money in, but then at least you're washing your face during the rest of the year. But yeah, it's the occupancy rate. You need to work out the occupancy rate. This is a lot harder to work out on Airbnb or Booking.com, right? Because you might go on and see it's fully booked for the summer. And then it might be it's fully booked for the winter as well. And you're like, oh, wow. They charge £500 a night for that place.
Pretty much full all the time.
But what you don't realise is that they've rented it for much cheaper over the summer to someone over the winter for someone who's living in it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Or it might be that they've closed it for refurb. And you're like, oh. Or.
Like we do that, don't we, on some of ours? Like, because sometimes we go visit them and that would just be us going to check on them. And
also, you're only looking at the future. You can't book a place in the past. So you don't know what it was before. You can only see what it is. And just because it isn't booked in August now doesn't mean it won't be by the time it gets there. You can get less many bookings and everything. So working out occupancy rates, you can kind of get an idea of if stuff tends to be booked a little bit. But actually working out an occupancy rate for an area is really, 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 really tricky. So I'm going to give you a clue about a tool right now. We're going to put a link to this tool in the bottom of the video. Okay, so you can go and check it out. It's called Deal Sourcer. Now, this tool, by the way, it does loads and loads of things. It's like ChatGPT, but designed to find you property deals. Here's one of the really cool things that it does, though, which is perfect for this. So if you click on the dashboard, you can see an area called Tools, and it will say Market Research. So I can click on there. Now I'm going to put Warsaw link. We're just talking about Warsaw. It's not going to be the best area in the world, okay? But it doesn't matter. So I'm going to put in Warsaw. You can also do it by postcode, but we're just going to put Warsaw, West Midlands, and I'm going to click Search. Now here's what it does. Once you put your area in, it's going to analyze, in this case, 189 properties. In Warsaw, okay? So it's got to analyze them. And it's given us the key data that we need. Number one, the average daily rate, which in Warsaw is £92 per night, for a one bed, okay? That's for a one bed. And then number two, it's given me the occupancy rate, which in this case is 64.1%. So what I could do, if you've got your phone on you?
I have.
You can work this out for me.
Oh,
so do 92... which is our average daily rate.
Yeah.
Times 30.
Yeah.
And then times that by 64.1%.
64.1.
So it's going to be about $2,000, I imagine.
Hang on, it went wrong.
Okay, so 92 times 30.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you get Anna to do the calculations.
92 times 30,
and
yeah.
Then times the whole thing, your new answer, by 0.641.
Times by 0.641.
Be around about $2,000 mark, just under 1.8,
yeah.
1.9.
Well, 1.769.
1.769. Okay, cool. So if we had a one-bedroom flat in Warsaw, if we rented out service accommodation, yeah, we'd probably generate about 1.769. So then you can assess, well, what would I get if I was renting it out as a single let? And I don't know Warsaw that well anymore, but no, it might be $1,000. It might be. It doesn't make sense. It might be that, yeah, Warsaw's not a brilliant area. But you've then got this extra figure over here. It says average rev par, okay? And basically that's per extra room.
Yeah.
So if you had a two-bed or a three-bed, you'd add on £35 per room. So if you had a three-bed house, it would be 92 plus 70, which is 160-odd.
Yeah.
So suddenly it's way, way, way better.
Yeah.
Right? But it also gives you loads of other data in well. So we talked about Bournemouth being very good in the summer, very poor in the winter. I can look at this. I'm looking right now. I can see by month the average occupancy rate. I can look at it by seasons. So I can look at spring, summer, autumn, winter. Weirdly, Warsaw, the spring is actually the best month.
Oh.
March, the best month.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool. You can scroll down, you can look at a map, and I can zoom in on like individual houses in the map. So this one right here, I believe, is the one we're actually talking about.
Okay.
So it's got the data for the individual thing. So that house, the average rate that they charge is £183 a night.
Okay.
Which makes sense because it's got like four or five rooms.
Yeah.
And the average occupancy is 70%.
Yeah, it's good going, isn't it?
That? Which means it's generating the revenue here of £44,649. You would not get that as a single.
No.
You just wouldn't. It might be half.
Yeah.
Best case.
That's really good.
It just shows how much better it is. You don't have any tenants' rights or anything. So here are the three target groups. Let me just put in another area as well just to show you. So let's do...
And what a great app.
Let's do Windsor. Oh, it's amazing.
Because the amount of time that takes you to do manually and just to be able to just go here. Like I love going on the app and just going, oh, let's check this area. Let's check that area. Oh, wow, look at this. Like, I think it's incredible, that app.
It is. So I've done Windsor. Windsor Centre.
Great place.
Beautiful area. £209 a night for a one bed.
Yep.
£99 per extra room. So if you had a three bed there, it'd be like £400.
Yeah.
Average occupancy rate, 66.8%.
Yep.
And again, you've got here, you've got your properties that it's basing it on. Here they all are. You can click on them individually. You can read about them. So this one here, £290, average occupancy rate 63.3, £68,000 in revenue.
Yeah, great area, Windsor. I know a lot of people that have got SAs in Windsor. Well, probably one of the only problems with Windsor is how many people have done SA in Windsor, really.
But the occupancy rate is decent.
So it's still going strong because, I mean, when I go to Windsor...
It's best in the summer.
People are coming in on coach loads, aren't they? It's such a touristy area, Windsor.
It is.
Like, for round here, it's one of the best places you can do, really.
It is. So what I would recommend you guys doing is clicking the link below, going on to Deal Sourcer, getting a free trial. By the way, there's so much other stuff you can do. You can use it to find deals, analyze deals. You can use it to work out refurb costs, all sorts of stuff. But for now, just pick your area. Go and pick your area. Now, here are the three people that I think could benefit from renting their properties out as service accommodation rather than as a single let. So number one, we're existing landlords.
Yeah.
If you're an existing landlord and you've got properties right now and you're thinking, being a bit disillusioned.
Thinking of selling up.
You could double your profit.
Yeah.
Or double your turnover, more than double your profit. Massively increased by renting it out as SA. So that's the first one, existing landlords. Now, there might be existing landlords that think, oh, I don't really want to dress the property up and I don't want to. You could get other people to do it for you. If you want the ease of an AST.
Yeah.
But the profit... and the flexibility because they don't have tenants' rights or anything like that. You could do something called rent to rent.
Yep.
Where you're the landlord, you find someone And trust me, there's loads of people.
Yeah.
But you find someone who wants to manage the property for you, and then you agree a profit split, whether it's you get a guaranteed rent similar to a normal rent and they take the profit on top, or whether you do a profit share or you pay them a management fee or whatever it is that you're going to do. But you can get someone else to manage it, sort it all out for you.
Put all the equipment in, everything you need.
They can run the whole thing.
Yeah.
You can just get paid as normal. But they've got no tenants' rights.
Nope.
So if they don't pay, boom, they're gone. Which is brilliant. The second group of people would be you as a renter. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't own any property, well, what you could do is you could approach landlords.
Yeah, to do rent-to-rent.
And do rent-to-rent. Take their property, find the perfect area, whether that's Windsor, whether it's Warsaw, whether it's Manchester, Liverpool, Leeds, Birmingham. I don't know. I'd pick an area near you. Download the tool. Go and check for some areas that you like the sound of, like the look of, and work it out.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Those two key figures. Average occupancy rate, average nightly rate.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got loads of videos on the channel about running an SA. How do you personally find, because we've obviously buy properties that we run out as service accommodation, how do you find managing them, and do you enjoy it? Do you like it better than the properties that we've got as a single there?
And or, HMOs and things like
that. What do you prefer?
I think SA service accommodation is my favourite. I think out of all of them, I'd say HMOs are my worst. I think they're harder to run. You can make lots of profit, but they are, you know, harder. I think SA, I mean, we've never had any... I mean, we've had, oops, they damaged the coffee table.
Yeah.
But I think it's really easy. I think the clientele, people come, people go... We haven't had any, like, I think people are just nice and reasonable. Everyone's on holiday or, because we personally do a lot on the tourist market, not contractors. But they're just moving for a bit. They're all really pleasant. They're not like, sometimes it's good to set them up well, because I think otherwise they could be a bit picky if the check-in isn't easy. And make life easy for yourself. Make the check-in good. But then I think the clientele's very nice to handle and deal with, and they just come and go, and you're on to the next people. I mean, how long does it take us? A week? Well, not long at all.
20 minutes a week, half an hour a week. I would say there's slightly more hassle than an AST.
Yeah.
Because...
But they are until they're not. So, yes, you could say that. Until you have a really bad...
But I've never had... the example we gave earlier. Yeah, I've never had anything like that.
So I'd much rather be in a slightly awkward...
Slightly more day-to-day hassle.
Yes, obviously it is. Because we also have buy-to-lets. But because they're so smooth sailing, I would probably say...
Just leave it as buy-to-let.
Yeah, because, I mean, like we say, we've got... quite a lot, but one we always bang on about is one in Cannock, because our tenant, we bought it with a tenant how many years ago, our first ever property.
Yeah,
and
we
they
have a management
still,
company or anything, it just runs itself.
They don't ask for anything. So can I say, of course they're harder than that.
Yeah.
But is that reality? Then you've got Martin, the other extreme. So I think more can go
wrong.
Do you
know what I like about them though? I like the fact that all the properties that we have as SAs, I kind of feel an affinity to the property because I go to it.
Yeah. Look, I forget about some of them.
So when you buy to-lets?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even remember what they look like inside and stuff. It's just
For all I know, they could have totally redecorated them or anything, couldn't they? That one we are talking about that we've had since, how old were we? We were really young, weren't we?
About 15 years, yeah.
I can't picture it. I can picture the downstairs, but I actually can't picture it. Thinking about it. Now I've actually thought about it. I don't actually know what it looks like upstairs.
No.
If they said go and say the layout of it, I know you go in and the stairs are there and the lounges and the kitchen, but I don't even know actually if it's two or three bedrooms. Now I'm thinking about it. I'm just like...
Exactly.
Crazy.
Where was your SAs? You go and stay out and you enjoy, you almost enjoy them as well as a bit of a property.
Yeah.
You can go along. So that's why I think there's plenty of opportunity out there. That, for me, is the answer right now. This is how you want to make money from property. Service accommodation, rent them as guests, go and pick an area, get them on a channel manager, booking.com, Airbnb, basically runs itself.
Yeah.
Right? And if you want to learn, well, how do you actually run them? How do you make profit from them? I'm also going to put a link as well to a webinar.
Yep.
That I'm doing that's teaching about property and how to actually build wealth through property and how to maximize your rental income and stuff in a bit more detail than we can do on this show. So that's free as well, okay? So go and get the link for Deal Sourcer. Have a play with that. Choose your area. Watch the webinar. That's free. It's all free.
You're giving everything away.
I'm giving everything. I'm feeling very generous.
It's Christmas.
Of course, being generous. So, but buy to let, is it dead? It's struggling.
It's struggling.
And right now, service accommodation is the answer. I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
I'll see you next week.